Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Isaiah 61. Now, if there's one thing, when we're driving, there's one thing that most people dread to see on your dashboard is that oil light come on. Now when the engine light comes on, you know, you got some time. My engine light comes on all the time because of an air sensor. And so you can drive, that's no big deal. But when your oil light comes on, you need to pay attention. All of you who may not be aware of it, you need to pay attention when your oil light comes on. Your oil light comes on because, number one, there's no oil. It may have leaked out or it may have just worn out. Number two, there's no oil pressure. That's the pressure that pushes the oil. Or number three, the oil pump is failing. That's the pump that pushes the oil that causes the pressure. Now, if that should happen, any of those three, no oil, no oil pressure, or the oil pump's not working, your engine will stop. The oil is the lifeblood of the engine. The engine is made of metal. It moves constantly at rapid speeds, pressing and touching one another, working next, and it causes friction. So your engine gets extremely hot. Without the oil, the friction gets too much for the engine. It gets too hot. The oil actually keeps the temperature down. And I know it's not the coolant. The coolant is something different. That definitely keeps it down. But the oil keeps the friction down so that it doesn't just really get so hot that the engine freezes. And I say freezes, I don't mean cold freezes. I mean seizes. Let's say that. Seizes. It stops. Years ago, we had a car. It was one of our. It was our very first SUV. Ken got it for us. Remember, Ken, you got that for us on the black market. It was a black car, so it was on the black market. And and it was a good car. We drove it for several years, but we started to have trouble with the oil pressure. Now, I have not had any car before that or since that actually has an oil pressure gauge on my dashboard. That one, I should have known there's a problem because it actually had an oil pressure gauge to let me know what the oil pressure is. And it would be fine, and then all of a sudden, I would see the oil pressure start to fall. And before my very eyes, I'd see it start to fall. And then the temperature would start to go up on the car. So I'd have to pull over to the side of the road, you know, and sometimes if you just pull over and park it for a little bit, you're good to go. Well, one time, actually it wasn't just one time, it was on Thanksgiving night. It was dark, and we were driving, and we were in Longs. We got as far as Longs, and the oil pressure didn't just start to fall, it disappeared, just like that. It just plummeted. And I looked, and before I could do anything, the engine seized. And I coasted over to the side of the road. So I said, well, let me just sit for a while. Maybe it's just resting. Maybe it's not dead. And I figured, let me try to raise this thing from the dead. And so we're praying, laying hands on the dashboard. You can't lay hands on the hot engine, so I'm laying on the dashboard. And that's when you have those, sometimes you do have those experiences when your prayers avail nothing, and that thing was dead and not coming back. So I called Pastor Jeff, not for prayer, but for a tow, because I knew he lived in Longs. So he came and with his car, with his, I guess you had a truck, I think. And he hooked me up with some, I don't know, those straps you hooked me up with, those are like, you know the straps that you use when you're moving and you strap stuff with those? That's what he had. And so the front of my bumper and the back of his truck were about that far apart. And you know, when you tow somebody, the car goes like that. So I'm thinking I'm going to run into him one of these days, one of these times. Anyway, he towed us back here and we were able to rent a car and continue on our way. But that car was buried after that. There was no hope for that. It had to get a new engine. Pardon? I can't hear you. Yeah, you weren't with us. Whenever we broke down, it was interesting. Whenever we broke down with that car, and we broke down a lot, she was not with us. It was the most amazing thing. Yeah, every time it broke down, she wasn't there. We had all these adventures by ourselves. Anyway, that's the problem without oil. Now, the Word of God tells us several things about the Holy Spirit and us and compares him to oil. And I have a feeling that this is a major problem with believers today, that they're not sensing their oil light. Now, on the car, it's when the oil light goes on. With the believer, it's when the oil light goes off that you're in trouble. And you better get some oil or get the oil pump fixed or at least pay attention. The problem now is most believers are parking their vehicles and not serving God the way they used to. They are not going the way they used to. They're not mobile the way they used to be. They're not on fire or hot the way they used to be. Their engine is stone cold and seized in the backyard with weeds growing over it. It's time to change that. It's time to get back to the things of God. Let me show you some of the steps that happen. The first one is Isaiah 61, because this is how you know that your oil light has gone off. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your joy? Are you joyful coming to church? Oh, that's right. A lot of people don't come to church anymore. I guess I can't ask that question. I'm not talking about coming to church online. I'm talking about not being online or in church. It's hard to have joy coming to church if you're not in church. And that is a sure sign you've lost your joy. If you can't bring yourself to get online or to get in a pew, you've lost your joy. There is a joy in salvation. There is a joy in serving the Lord. There is a joy in worshiping and in praying and in seeing signs and wonders. There's a joy in hearing the Word of God. Maybe not right now. You might be feeling convicted. But there's a joy. There's a joy in fellowshipping one with another. There's a joy with seeing friends. A joy, you know, when you come into church, a bunch of people are gathered around the front talking and laughing. A bunch of people gathered around the back talking and laughing. A bunch of people gathered in a pew talking and laughing. There's joy. There's joy in fellowship. There's joy in seeing one another, renewing friendships. One of the ways you know that your oil pump's not working is you've lost your joy. It doesn't mean you never laugh at anything. You might watch a TV program and laugh. But you've lost the joy of your salvation. It's no longer that important. It's no longer that important to serve God. It's down on the list somewhere. Let's see. Supermarket, dry cleaners, serve God. Something wrong with that. It's time to reprioritize our lives. COVID devastated churches. COVID did more than that. It didn't devastate us. It devastated believers, though. COVID has caused believers to become lukewarm to the things of God. So, the communist Chinese were successful. They're anti-God. They may have been anti-America and anti-our economy, but they're also anti-God. They arrest pastors. They bulldoze churches. And now they're doing it here through their virus. And we're helping them by having a laissez-faire attitude. Did I say that right? Laissez-faire attitude. See, I can quote in many languages.
Laissez-faire, monsieur.
Laissez-faire. Okay, I got it. Thank you. So, it is time for the believer to check their oil. Check your oil of joy. Is it still there? Did your oil light go off? And you know, the best part is if you have an oil problem, you just lift up the hood and you put some in. Every time you come here, we're going to fill you with oil, the oil of joy. We're going to give you something to smile about. We're going to give you something to expect. And the best part is you will get to your destination. You won't be stuck on the side of the road. How many believers are stuck on the side of the road? Whether it's some kind of infirmity, something coming up with family, something coming up with the mechanics of their lives. And they're pulled over. They're on the side of the road. They can't get to church. They can't get online. They can't serve God because all of these things, it is simple. Bring your car into the shop. Bring yourself into the shop so we can put in the oil. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. In James 5, we have another oil. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and pray over them, anointing him with oil, the oil of healing. The oil of healing. If the enemy can cause you to lay out a church by this symptom, that symptom, this sickness, that sickness, he will. But last time I read my Bible, it says resist the devil and he must flee from you. It says we've been healed by the wounds that Jesus took. By those wounds we're raised up and made whole. Surely he's carried our sickness and our disease. That's from the smallest symptom to the biggest. And I'm not preaching anything that I don't live. Because when I get sick, we pray, I get healed, praise God. Whether it's from cancer or food poisoning, the Lord is our healer. We need to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So rather than repeat the infirmity, repeat the symptoms, repeat the sickness, repeat the healing, speak the blessing, speak the miracle. Take hold by your faith. That's why we have faith. It's time to check your oil of healing. Maybe it's run out. Maybe there's an oil leak and you've lost the oil of healing. It's time to renew your oil of healing. Stand on the rock and declare you can do all things through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I walk by faith. Say it out loud. I walk by faith in the Lord. I walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling. Go to Psalm 133. Got another oil. There's lots of oil in the Word of God. Psalm 133. You know this one. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment or oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. Now Aaron was being anointed as high priest. That's the oil of service. The oil of service. You realize that we have an anointing to serve. We have an oil of service. And I would think that there's a number of oil lights that have gone out because people aren't serving God the way they used to. It's time to check your oil. Check your oil. Do you still have that desire on the inside to serve God? Do you still have that hunger on the inside to serve your church? Do you still have that want to on the inside to serve other people? Check oil. That's the message today. Check oil. It's time to check our oil. Is it pumping? Is it there? Has it run out? Is there no oil pressure? Do you feel no pressure to serve God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength? That's what Jesus said, isn't it? We're to love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. Putting God first. I think it was Jesus that said, seek the kingdom first and all other things will be added, right? It wasn't Pastor Frank who said that. It was Jesus who said that. I'm just repeating what he said. So the oil of service, when we serve, you know, when you give, when you serve, and I'm not talking about giving financially, when you give to somebody else, doesn't it make you feel good when you serve somebody? Don't you get a feeling of satisfaction because you've done something for someone else? And isn't that why God's word says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? He doesn't say, wait and see what they do to you. He says, do it first. Do what you would have others do to you. You do first. That's serving. Jesus says, I came to serve. He said, you call me Lord and Master, but I came to serve. He demonstrated that at the Last Supper when he washed everybody's feet. And he said, now you do the same. Now, there are times when we may have a foot washing ceremony, but I'm sure he did not mean that we are to go around washing everybody's feet at every meal we go to. Anybody go out to dinner last night? Anybody go to a restaurant last night? Did you go around and wash everybody's feet at the restaurant? I don't think so. They probably would have kicked you out of the restaurant. He said, serve one another. That's what he's implying, that we serve, that we love one another and give in service one to another. That's the oil of service. We are anointed with the oil of service to serve. And if our oil runs low, we can't serve. We don't serve. Let's look at another one. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. This one is interesting because I believe this is the problem with America right now. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? This is the anointing of leadership. This is the oil of leadership. You and I have the oil of leadership. I didn't get a single amen. You and I have the oil of leadership. All believers have the oil of leadership. We are to lead our society. We don't elect our government officials to lead our society. They are there to enforce the law. They're there for legal things. We are the ones responsible. But who's leading our society? You wonder who's leading our society? The people that are getting lip injections are leading our society. The people that are getting derriere injections are leading our society. The people that are getting their front end augmented are leading our society. We call them influencers. They hang off of cliffs taking selfies. They go under the knife 20, 30, 40 times, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to have followers. And people pay them. There's a guy who is in love with a Korean pop star. And so he has taken all of these plastic surgeries in order to look like the guy. It has totaled over $250,000. The kid doesn't have a job. So I asked my kids, how do these people afford this? The guy doesn't have a job. Well, because he's an influencer, people pay. People are paying him online. The followers give him money for all this. That's sick. The devil is diverting all of that money from legitimate things. Okay, the church, number one, but there are other legitimate causes. People who desperately need, and they're giving it to somebody who's an idiot. Apparently, idiocy sells today. No, Ken, you're not an idiot because you're in every single service, online, in person. That idiot hasn't been in one of our services yet. Yeah. So, you see, we've got it out of whack. And all of these people who are doing bizarre, unusual, and really self-destructive things are leading society. It's what people are flocking to, looking to. And yet we have the oil of leadership. We are the ones called to set the pace, to lead the crowd, for people to follow. But if we are too busy blending in, not going to happen. Why are people following them? Because they're different. Can you say we are different from the rest of our society? Do you say we are different? We have different goals, different beliefs. We have different things happening, like miracles. Isn't that a bit different? If that guy, no matter how many surgeries he had, if he got cancer, would probably die. Not so with us. We shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God. But it's time to check the oil of leadership. Are we leading anybody anywhere? Or are we simply spending our time trying not to be noticed? We are to be noticed. That's the whole point. We're to be noticed. Jesus said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. That's being noticed. That's lifted up. The one who's anointed here is Saul, head and shoulders above all the rest. When David was anointed, the only one who would go face a giant. There's something distinctive about the anointed leaders of God. And you and I are all anointed leaders. We have the oil of leadership. But it's up to us to lead. Saul lost his leadership because he didn't lead. It's up to us to lead. Check your oil. Do you have the oil of leadership? Is it still in there? One more oil I want to look at. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35, one verse again. Verse 28. And spice and oil for the light. That's the oil of light. In the temple, in the tabernacle, there was the candelabra that always had oil for light. We have the oil for the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Has our light gone out? Has our oil light gone out? Do we still have enough oil to burn? The whole celebration of Hanukkah is because the oil lasted when it shouldn't have lasted. It lasted miraculously. Do we have the oil of light? Are we shining a light to the people around us? Do they see that we're different? Do they see that we're the safe harbor? That we're the lighthouse? That we're the ones that will direct them in from stormy seas to a place where they will find rest and peace? Are we those that show the way? Jesus said, you don't put that light under a bushel. You don't hide it under a bed. You put it out where everybody can see it. Can everybody see our light? Or do we have a blackout? Do you remember? Not you wouldn't remember. But during World War II, in the bombing raids in London, they had blackouts. They would paint the windows black, or they'd have heavy drapes to put over the windows. If you were a smoker, and everybody smoked back then, and you went out on the street during a blackout to smoke, and that little bit of cigarette, you could be shot by the Home Guard for that. Because that little light, that little orange on the end of your cigarette could direct bombers and then shoot you. Everybody knew, no lights. We don't live in a blackout. We're commanded to let our light shine, to let people see it. Unless there's no oil. If there's no oil, there's no flame. If there's no flame, there's no light. One more place I want to go, and this is not oil. This is what we're to do about it. Jude. Short letter, just before Revelation. Book of Jude. Jude is a brother of Jesus. Jude. Brother of James, sorry. And Jesus. Beloved, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you. All right? Now, look at this. This is the first century, and he needs to exhort believers. What do you think he's exhorting them to do? That you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We're talking not even 100 years after Jesus, and they have to earnestly contend for the faith. That means fight seriously to keep your faith. Fight seriously to walk by faith. Fight seriously to make sure that you are standing on the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, being a believer. Your oil is full. You are not having a lack of oil, a lack of pressure, or the oil pump gone out. You have the oil of joy. You have the oil of healing. You have the oil of service. You have the oil of leadership, and you have the oil of light. Your light is shining. You're serving others. You're leading people around you. You are walking in health. You're laying hands on the sick. You are doing all that you can do to serve the Lord, serve the church. You are available. You have joy. It's not easily taken. It's your strength. You stand against the wiles of the devil. He cannot put you under. He cannot keep you down. You rise up every single time because you've got the oil. You are going to go and go and go. As long as you got oil, you know, how many miles on your car? How many miles on your car, Bernie? Do you know? 140. Anybody have more than 140 on your car? What do you got, Pastor Jeff? 257. What do you got? 224. We got 300,000 on our 2017. It's just about to turn. It's 298 or something. About to turn 300,000. It's a 2017. And that thing is running as if it were brand new. I get better mileage now than all the rest of the time. But you know what? We change the oil all the time. All the time. We change it. We change it. We don't wait for it. We change it regularly. If you change your oil regularly, if you keep your oil clean, keep your oil good, you are going to run that car forever. I'm shooting for 500,000. I believe I'm going to go 500,000. I mean, I might get rid of it by then, before then, but if anybody wants a good car with a lot of miles, but they're all highway miles, let me know. But I'm telling you, the same with us. If we keep the oil of joy, the oil of God, the oil anointing us and flowing through us, we are going to go and go and go without burning out. How many people have burned out because of COVID? How many people have burned out because they're doing too much, they're too stressed out? We will not burn out. I didn't see Jesus burning out anytime. He never burned out as much as he did. And he was walking everywhere. He didn't burn out. Nor can we. It's time to check our oil. That could be why we're dragging. That could be why we're slowing down. That could be why we're not that concerned about the things of God or the church. That could be why we're just fine to once in a while check in. Do you know if you once in a while check, have your oil changed, that car is not going to last as long. And if anybody wants to buy a car, you can talk to Ken. One of the things you might want to do is unscrew the oil thing and look inside if it's a used car and see if it's nice and clean in there or if there's a lot of black. If there's a lot of black, move on to another car. That means they didn't change their oil very often. Right? Am I right on that? Right. Thank you. Occasionally, I get things right. So check your oil. It's time to check oil. It's time to check our oil. And once again, oil of gladness or the oil of joy, oil of healing, oil of service, oil of leadership, oil of light. If any of those areas we're falling down or falling behind, we have a lack of oil. It's time to get it back. How do we get it back? Contending. We got to fight back. How do you fight? Praying in the Holy Spirit is one way. I mean, while you're driving, while you have some free time, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That builds yourself up in your most holy faith, right? Pray. Be in the anointing. Be in service online, in person. Be in service. That anointing lifts you. It grows. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. That's contending for the faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Resist the devil. Exercising your faith. When you resist, when you declare the word of God, you say it. You overcome. Your faith is going to grow. Anybody who goes to the gym, it doesn't grow just the first time you go. You go over and over and over and over, and your muscles grow. Same thing with faith. The more you use it over and over and over and over, the bigger your faith muscles become. So it is time that the church take the lead in our society, because quite honestly, I don't see anybody else taking the lead.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, The Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.